those four as they build on one another. The first wedding is the wedding of Adam and Eve, the wedding in which we were meant to be created into. But the fall came, and those two descended into death and sin. There is the wedding feast of Cana, the beginning of Christ's ministry, the wedding feast in which I will point out the stone jars, the many large stone jars there used for ceremonial washings, which Christ turned into the most wonderful wine that anyone had tasted. The third marriage is the marriage of Christ and his bride, the church, at the foot of the cross. And the fourth marriage is the wedding feast of the Lamb, our eternity in heaven, that eternal celebration, that eternal wedding feast where we are united with God forever. These weddings help to explain to us the entirety of what we are called to. And yet that tension still exists, that tension in which the God the Father, or God the Father is the King in our gospel today, is throwing the celebration for his son, the bridegroom. We are the bride. The king comes out and asks, friendly, in fact, says, my friend, how are you here without a wedding garment? It's not a complicated or angry question, but rather a question of simply asking, how is it that you come to be in this place without a wedding garment? Many years ago, about 10 at this point, I was invited to a Jewish wedding. My first ever time in a synagogue here in Louisville. And in attending, I was in seminary at the time, and so in attending, you walk into the door, and at the door is this interesting contraption where you pull a yarmulke out of the bottom and the rest of them lower, and it's almost like a yarmulke distribution machine, yarmulke being those little hats that they wear on their head. And mention was made of the yarmulkes. It was said, you can wear one if you like, but don't feel like you have to. And at the time, being uncertain about all that I was entering into, I didn't take them. They were right there. They were available to me. The option was given. It wasn't really forced, nor was it expected. And yet, I refused. I decided not to. For years after, I beat myself up for that decision, in a way, reflecting on today's gospel. The one that did not have the wedding garment on was asked, why don't you have the wedding garment on? And so it's a tension that existed within my life where I contemplated the meaning of that choice. But then, as I grew in my understanding of our faith, it became clearer to me that it was okay. I was free to choose. The yarmulkes were presented as an option, but I was free to accept it or not. Looking back, though, I do realize that at that time in my life, I had hair on my head. I wonder if the yarmulke would have protected it. I don't know. Nonetheless, it was a free decision. It wasn't disrespectful because they didn't insist upon it. It was never insisted upon me or any of the other guests to wear it. That wedding, that Jewish wedding, was a prefiguring of the wedding to which we are called. And so, with no disrespect to our Jewish cousins, the predecessors of our faith, but there's a difference between what happened there in that synagogue and what we today and every day are called into to receive from this altar our invitation into the wedding feast. If, and I believe he is, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what we are called to is greater than that which I attended. That being said, I hope each of you has on your wedding garment today. Each of us, through our baptism, have received a wedding garment. Each of us, those baptized at this very font back here, an infant just yesterday afternoon, each of us receives a wedding garment, an outward sign of an interior disposition, an outward sign of an interior disposition. And I hope you have that interior disposition on right now. Deacon John and I are wearing the exterior sign of that disposition. Our outs. These are our baptismal garments, our wedding garments. Now, they grow with us. Not the little cute dresses and little suits that those being baptized normally wear. They grow. An exterior sign of an interior disposition. We are called upon to put on Christ. We're called upon to be another Christ. This simply being a reminder of what we have received in baptism. When the Father, the King in the Gospel today, comes to the one who does not have on this gospel, this garment, and asks him, "Friend, how did you come to be in this place without a wedding garment?" I believe there are three possible answers. One would be, "Lord, I don't know. Where are they? Where can I get this wedding garment? Please allow me to put on Christ and be fully who you are calling me to be. Please, Lord, allow me to belong fully. Allow me to receive the grace of baptism. And even at the end of our lives, the grace of God poured out abundantly, and bestow upon us the wedding garment for which he is asking." The second possible response is silence, neither acceptance nor denial of that which we are to put on. Just simply silence, almost ambivalence. The third response might be anger, or perhaps even hatred. "How dare you ask me to put that thing on? Why would I do that? I don't have to do that. I belong here. Does it matter what you say? I'll do whatever I want." And two, the second and the third response to that question, they would be cast out. They have not put on that which invites them in. It's not because of the Father's anger, or out of the respect that God the Father has for us. And the wailing and the grinding of teeth that they have would better be spent in self-reflection, looking into themselves, not in hatred and anger towards the King, but more in, "What in my heart am I holding on to?" When the Jews would go to a wedding, they would wash. More important than the garments that they wore was the washing, the cleansing, the reality that this garment that we are given at our baptism becomes stained by sin throughout our lives. It is no coincidence that water is turned into wine, which is a prefiguring of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The very water which would cleanse the Jews in preparation for a wedding feast is the blood of Christ that cleanses us for all eternity. And we are encouraged and welcome to receive that great gift. Some say that there is no way that God would ever refuse anyone into heaven. In fact, all are in heaven because God sisters and brothers, I beg of you, do not make God such a tyrant. That king, that God, would say, I don't care if you want to wear the wedding garment or not. You're going to wear it. And he would have his servants force upon those in attendance to wear the very thing that they refused to put on. But God, thanks be to God, is not a tyrant. For God respects us, loves us, invites us day after day, time after time, to put on the wedding garment. We recognize the great gift that we have received in our baptism, adopted as sons and daughters, and gives us the opportunity to fully live. God is not a tyrant who makes us choose him. God is a loving king who invites us, all of us, to that wedding feast. From the rite of baptism, there's a little prayer that we say in recognition of the white cloth that they are given, that they wear at their baptism. This little prayer is directed directly to the newly baptized, not talking to the parents, talking to the child. Child, you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. May this white garment be a sign to you of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends,